Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. Being prepared is all about having the right tools. The OnX off-road map and navigation app is the best fully functional GPS when you're out of service. Offline maps allow you to access all interactive land and trail data and custom map markups when you're out of service. Your phone's internal GPS gives you full navigation capabilities offline, so you'll always know where you are and how to get home safely. Go to onxmaps.com and use code MeatEater to get 20% off your membership today. Telling you what, Dekt is a game changer. Dekt has completely changed how I load, organize my truck. All my stuff that I want is always in there, out of my way, and secure. It's perfect. If you own a pickup truck that you use, you know, like a truck, the Dekt drawer system gives you weatherproof storage for all your gear. You can lock it up, too. You keep your tools and gear organized, job site or out in the field. Go to Dekt.com/meateater to receive free shipping. Go to Dekt.com/meateater and get yourself some free shipping.
It's a Meateater podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Seafoam Motor Treatment, a proud podcast sponsor of Meateater. Welcome to Meateater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Stephen Ranella, Giannis Poutelis, Brody Henderson, Randall Williams, Seth Morris, Corbin Schneider, Dr. Randall, Ryan Callahan, and Dan Adute. Now, Dan, this is your first time on the show. How do you feel about your chances at Meateater Trivia?
I am going to do so well.
Okay. How well?
You're going to rename this the Dan Adute Meateater Trivia Hour.
Mm. The confidence is real. Dan is the only one to ever suggest putting a dollar down on the game. So we now have a stack of cash sitting in the middle of the table.
A stack of $3 bills.
There's four. There's
I
four.
Thought it was bigger than that. Okay. Dan started that, though, wanting to bet on this game. Steve, you've had an hour or two to suss out Dan. How do you think he's going to fare?
I bet that when I just listen. I don't mean to be mean. I don't want to answer that.
I can take it. No, I can take it.
I bet you when Phil does who's in and out at 8, you're out.
Listen, being in and out by 8, that ain't bad.
No, I was out by 8 the other day.
Yeah, long
before. I haven't won in forever.
Steve is usually quite bullish on our guest ability, Dan. I haven't heard him be that down before, so I'm looking forward to
you proving. Wait, is that true?
Prove him wrong. It's true. Prove him wrong, Dan.
Oh, yo, this is for all the coastal elites listening. I will represent.
Maybe not well, though.
No.
We'll
see.
You'll be their coxman? Is that what you're saying?
The coxman?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Did I pronounce it wrong?
Yeah. Wow. You know what? You're going to be out by question number 5.
Now, Cal pointed out, Cal wasn't even supposed to be on this episode, but he wanted to stick around because he has yet to get to witness Steve versus Brody versus Dr. Randall. And Cal said, I have to sacrifice my next hour to be here to watch this unfold.
But he's playing.
He's playing, okay. But he's also here for the show.
Damn, I'm kind of bummed, guys. I wasn't included in that.
Those are Cal's words.
In that grouping, yeah. Cal.
Cal's words.
I know.
Yeah, same.
Well, it's because you don't display the same characteristics that have me intrigued.
Oh, you're right. I know. Yesterday, remember
from a social
situation.
That. Yeah.
Now, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's 4 verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking, and there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And for the stat of the week this week, we're looking at Phil's performance in Meat Eater Trivia.
Now,
Before this show had really found its identity, Phil was playing along as well as keeping score and running all the sound effects. But then he declared one day that it was too much to do all three things. So he kindly gave up playing so he could better run the soundboard and scoreboard. Prior to that, though, Phil competed in 7 games. His best category was cooking, where he got 64% of questions right. His worst category was hunting, where he got 18% of questions right. Phil's best performance was in episode 294, where he got 5 right and finished just 1 point behind Steve. Was that a monumental day, Phil?
It was kind of before the show became the show, and before, like, you know, people got egos and things of that nature. God, so it was more fun than monumental. I was having a good time.
Yeah. Do you miss the days of having a whiteboard
in
your
hand?
Not at
all. No. Okay. It's too high pressure. But as soon as I take over this company in like a bloody coup and I change the trivia to Star Wars and video games, you guys are so screwed.
Now here's our 0% question of the week, which tests how much knowledge players have retained from previous games. This question was from episode 343. The topic was conservation, and nobody got it right. Which of these is not one of the 5 tools of wildlife management listed in the 1949 book, A Sand County Almanac? Axe, cow, water, gun. Which of those was not one of the 5 tools?
No one got this right.
Nobody got this right. Axe, cow, water, gun. What would be your guess, Steve?
Cow.
And you've been given the hint. No, that's wrong.
Water.
Water is right. Nobody got that right, though, the time we played. This question was especially notable because it was the first time we ever had a multiple choice question where no one got the right answer. Now, in a previous game of trivia, long, long ago, we had a question about who the 19-year-old was from the movie Into the Wild that died in the Alaskan wilderness.
I got that right.
Now, the correct answer was Christopher McCandless, but I also awarded credit to Steve for his answer. Steve, remind folks of how that went and why you felt you got it right.
This was a
his other name.
Was I put down Alexander Supertramp? Mm-hmm. Because that's what he called himself. And if 2022 taught you anything, is it what you call yourself is what you are.
Okay. For instance, Dr. Randall Williams.
Yes.
Never called myself
Always identifies as Dr.
Never
Randall Williams.
Never called myself that.
And we changed to his name to Alexander Supertramp.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff Swayze wrote in to say that he believes Steve shouldn't have gotten this right, and here's why.
He's a little late to the game.
Although McCandless did temporarily refer to himself as Alexander Supertramp, in his final communication with the outside world, he dropped the moniker. Here is his last letter, which he taped to his bus door. Take it away, Phil.
Attention possible visitors. SOS. I need your help. I am injured, near death, and too weak to hike out of here. I am all alone. This is no joke. In the name of God, please remain to save me. I am out collecting berries close by and shall return this evening. Thank you. Signed, Chris McCandless.
He was no longer Alexander Supertramp, Steve.
He was also in a distressed state.
Okay.
So he wasn't himself.
He had blurry judgment at that point.
Did Steve win that game of trivia?
I don't recall.
I used to win all the time back then.
Oh, you don't have this information affected the outcome?
We can revisit it later. You know what? I still feel fine about giving you credit for Alexander Supertramp. That was even a deeper cut than I think knowing Chris McCandless.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll still give you that point.
I still
later.
Feel fine about favoring my employer. I mean,
9 times out of 10, I am,
Now, the Shelby Index for today's game is a 3.5, so our winner should get 7 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question 1. The topic is conservation, and this will be multiple choice. Which of these states has the highest population of wolves? Is it Oregon, Michigan, Montana, or Minnesota? Which of these states has the highest population of wolves? Oregon, Michigan, Montana, or Minnesota? Some very confident answers in the room. I'm surprised at how quick everyone was to come up with an answer. Steve, you gonna get this one right?
Mm-hmm.
Oregon, Michigan, Montana, Minnesota.
Perfect game. Off to start.
Now, Dan, I heard you just visited Yellowstone recently. Did you get to see any wolves there?
I saw so many wolves.
Really?
No.
Oh.
But I saw that everyone here answered quick enough, and we're in Montana, that I'm assuming this is local.
Okay, go ahead and reveal your answers before we give away too many hints. Steve saying Minnesota. Dan saying Montana. Brody saying Minnesota. Corinne saying Minnesota. Cal saying Michigan. Seth and Randall saying Minnesota. Giannis saying Michigan. The correct answer is Minnesota.
Show!
The room did pretty well. After Alaska, Minnesota has the highest wolf population in the nation. With a population of 2,700 wolves, Minnesota is home to about half of all wolves that live in the lower 48. Montana has about 1,200 wolves, Michigan has about 600, and Oregon has about 200. Question two. The topic is fishing. This next great question comes to us via my nephew, Archie Mathiason. If you have a question you think is right for trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com.
Did he text it to you or email it to the official email address?
His mother texted it to me.
How old is Archie?
Nepotism here.
Archie, I think, is about 10.
You're a pretty good uncle.
Oh, thank you.
I feel like I've picked up little snippets here and there to suggest you're good at being an uncle.
You know, I think being an uncle is easy. I'm the funcle. I'm the fun uncle. But when they're like 10 and 12 years old and they have all the same interests, like hunting, fishing, sports, it's pretty easy.
Shine through.
It's easy to be.
Oh, you got a
house
full of rocks?
That's right. They like rocks as well.
Yeah.
Here's a question from Archie. The fishing lure pattern that has red, blue, and yellow dots on a white background is named after this grocery store staple. The fishing lure pattern that has red, blue, and yellow dots on a white background is named after this grocery store staple. Quick answer from Dan and Brody.
Brody wrote quick.
Giannis and Steve seem stumped. Seth, are you going to get this one right?
100%.
Here's the question again. The fishing lure pattern that has red, blue, and yellow dots on a white background is named after this grocery store staple. Brody, you have this one right as well?
100%.
Okay.
Dang.
You're getting into Steve and Yanni's head here.
Trying to.
Yeah. Very confident on the other side of the table.
He's doing a lot of writing and erasing over there.
Well, let me tell you something. My marker's not, I wouldn't call it a dry erase marker.
Is that why you can't come up with the
answer? That's the issue. We have other choices.
Throw me off. I got a lot of energy going into racing this Sunday thing.
Can't focus on the question.
I know very little about fishing.
You think
I know,
you know
a
this
lot
one?
About supermarket staples.
Okay.
Don't talk so too much or you'll get in real trouble.
Do you think, do you, think
talking,
you have
Dan.
This one
keep
right,
talking,
Dan?
Keep talking,
like sliced cheddar.
Do you think you have this one right, Dan?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yanni and Steve might slip up. Corinne, it seemed like it came to you over there. Do you have the right answer?
About the fishing lure.
Okay. Is everybody ready? Yanni,
no,
I think we're waiting
no,
on you.
I'm not. All right, go ahead.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying bubblegum. Dan saying Wonder. Brody saying Wonder Bread. Corinne saying Wonder Bread. Cal saying,
"Why'd you write white bread?
You stole it from somebody." White bread. Seth saying Wonder Bread.
Wonder
Randall saying
mark.
Wonder Bread. Giannis saying what? Popcorn.
He's looking at
the correct
board.
Answer is Wonder Bread. Dan, I think we'll give it to you.
Yes.
First of all, I'm being accused of cheating. He saw someone
why?
Write the word Wonder, but didn't know how to finish it. How would you get that far and not get to the end?
Because I thought it was the company is Wonder. The company's not Wonder Bread. It's a bread made by the Wonder Company. So I thought
maybe
it's Wonder.
They are Wonder Bread. I'm going to give it to you, Dan.
Thank you.
The guest always needs some help. Now, Cal
I don't
has
think
Eddie's,
I know.
Eddie's,
wait, that was patronizing. I did not need help on that.
Usually our guest gets three or four.
When
right.
I looked at you had Wonder and didn't finish it, I thought you caught a glimpse of something.
Like maybe over on my board.
Uh-huh.
Wow. What was your guess?
This is tough. Well,
I didn't get it right, but I'm not afraid to say it.
I 100% swear I did not cheat. I did not look at your board. I'm telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We know things about you and forest fires, you know.
Okay, that was another episode. We don't need to bring that up.
Now, Wonder Bread and its iconic packaging have been around since the 1920s, but the use of it on fishing lures didn't catch on until about 20 years ago. The pattern is now mass-produced by companies like Rapala and Little Cleo, making it a popular choice for anglers targeting salmon, walleye, bass, and panfish. As one fishing guide eloquently put it in a 2020 article, the Wonder Bread pattern is the best thing since sliced bread.
What do you think about that, Seth? You like it?
I like it. It's not my most confident color, but I use it mostly through the ice.
Yeah. It's fun to have around. It doesn't match anything else in the lake. But if you're worried about getting something's attention, that'll do it. Question three. The topic is cooking. This meal is often referred to as Jewish penicillin because of its medicinal value. This meal is often referred to as Jewish penicillin because of its
Dan
medicinal
with a confident
value.
Answer.
Dan with a confident answer.
Jewish penicillin.
Now, Dan, I often throw our guests a bone. One question that I feel like is squarely in their wheelhouse. When I go to your website, I think the first stand-up bit I watched was about being Jewish. Your bio said something about being growing up in a Jewish household. Your Wikipedia entry, I think the first line says, Dan Adute is a Jewish actor, writer, comedian.
So profiling,
I go so far as to call this guy proud to get HR in here really quick.
So I am throwing a bone to you on question three here, and you look confident that you're going to get this one right.
I am. However, it has nothing to do with my Jewishness.
Okay.
Because this is an Ashkenazi Jewish thing. I'm an Iranian Jew, which is Sephardic Jew. This is not part of my culture. But... as a coastal elite, surrounded by Jews, I know that Jewish...
Oh, don't reveal yet.
Oh, hold on.
I'm still writing.
People are struggling, Dan. Oh, good. This could put you in the lead here.
Good.
What's the question again? There it is.
This meal is often referred to as Jewish penicillin because of its medicinal value. Is everybody ready? Steve, are you going to get this one right?
I don't think so.
Steve has oft excelled in questions in this category because you once had a Jewish girlfriend, you've proclaimed.
I learned a little, yeah. I wound up knowing more about Judaism than she did.
But you're not going to get this one right.
It's a bold statement, I know.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying matzo ball soup. Dan sang chicken soup. Brody sang chicken noodle soup. Corinne sang, what's that say, Corinne?
Gefilte fish.
Gefilte fish.
Cal sang matzo ball soup. Seth sang blue cheese. Randall sang matzo ball soup. Giannis sang matzo ball soup. The correct answer is chicken soup or matzo ball soup. Either one of them.
Are we giving it to Brody?
We'll give it to Brody.
Oh, I feel like it's
are there noodles?
Though.
Sometimes
I think
there
that's
are.
Okay. Sometimes there are noodles. As man, the these, resident
I'm
Jew today,
but
Corinne, aren't you half Jewish?
With my boards.
Yeah, and you put gefilte fish.
I just couldn't think it was chicken noodle soup.
A Jewish physician was one of the first to recommend chicken soup for curing illnesses in the 12th century.
By the way, Jewish physician is redundant.
Okay. That's good. This claim was backed up by research at the University of Nebraska, which proved that chicken soup slows inflammation associated with colds and flu. The Jewish penicillin moniker gained popularity in America after World War II. Question four. The topic is woodsmanship. This next great question comes to us via Daniel McCarthy. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. The presence of this compound, which is often associated with red wine, is what makes some acorns more bitter than others. Yanni, you going to get this one right?
I believe so.
Do you have a lot of acorns on your property in Wisconsin?
Some years.
Okay. Is that something you talk about? In fall, which acorns are they hitting?
Yeah, I'm just starting to pay attention to that, so I will be talking more and more about it.
Again, the presence of this compound, which is often associated with red wine, is what makes some acorns more bitter than others.
You know, I learned the other day, listening to the Wired Hunt podcast, mm-hmm. old episode, number 161, was that some oaks never will produce acorns. They're simply not producers. And the guy was saying, cut them down! So that your producers
and
your super producers.
And it'll never produce. It's not just that it's having a bad couple years.
Yeah, he said, watch your stand for 3 years, and he said, you'll know which trees are going to keep producing and which trees are never going
to
produce.
I'd like to take that one to Bubbly Doug.
Pat Durkin has a great article on our website about the reality of trying to fertilize oak trees. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that a lot of habitat managers try to do, but we don't quite know everything about how it works. A lot of misconceptions. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Steve saying tannic acid. Dan.
Well, it's not all I said.
What is, in parentheses, he says tannins. Dan saying tannins. Brody saying tannins. Corinne saying,
I think I'm the only one to get it right.
Tannins. Cal saying tannin. Everybody says tannin. Everybody got it right.
No, it's tannic acid.
The correct answer is tannins.
According, no, there are many tannins. That's not a comp. Tannins isn't a compound.
We're going to give it, folks, who said tannins. According to biologists, acorns from white oak trees are preferred by wildlife because of their low tannin levels. This gives them more of a sweet flavor than acidic flavor, which is common with red oaks, black oaks, and pin oaks. The tannins in wine often come from the skin and seeds of fruit.
What did Dr. Williams have?
He got it right.
Did all the way right or just a little right?
I think by the rules of the room, I got it all the way right. I think by your rules, I did not get it right.
Question five, the topic is hunting. Who is the author of the hunting novel Death in the Long Grass?
You already did this.
Never done this before. Who is the author of the hunting novel Death in the Long Grass? Corinne has not picked up her board yet.
No, I just don't know that.
Have no guess? Okay. Rest of the room looks fairly confident.
Great book.
Great. You've read it?
Yes.
Okay.
You should add that to the Meteor Book Club.
Good idea, Yanni. Does everybody have an answer?
I got two. Is that a problem?
I think it is. For thinking we've done this question before, you should be more confident. Cal, you have an answer?
I know. I'm just spacing.
Okay.
Oh, is Brody thinking too?
No answer.
Brody, are you thinking? Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it with all these book writers in the room.
Oh, don't worry. I put my answer in right away.
I'm trying to decide.
Randall, how are we doing over there? Are you going to get this one right?
I feel pretty good about
it. Have you read this book?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
I can picture it on my shelf.
Did that help you, Cal?
Can you read
the one I got and then the one I crossed out?
We can do that. Cal is the only one I've ever seen.
Oh, I know the one that you got. Can I guess if I know both of the ones that he wrote?
You can write down what you think Steve's other answer is.
I'll give you my dollar out of that bet. I'll take my dollar back out of that bet and give it to you if you know what I got written down. Is that okay, Dan?
Yeah, that's okay.
Kind of like messes up the whole bet.
It doesn't matter.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Steve saying Zane Grey. He crossed out Capstick. Dan saying...
No, I meant to cross out Zane Grey.
Dan saying Johnny McHuntsalot. Brody saying Pete Capstick. What's below that?
Hathaway.
Corinne without an answer. Cal without an answer.
It's
Seth
Capstick.
Without an answer. Randall saying Peter Hathaway Capstick. Giannis saying Peter Capstick. The correct answer is Peter Capstick.
Can I get it? Because
do we count Brody's? Do we count Brody's?
We'll count Brody's.
What did he write?
He went first name, last name, middle name.
Can I see what he got, Brody?
We'll give it to
him. I'll decide.
So where they do it in the Dewey Devil this is what system.
The correct answer again is Peter Capstick.
Look, I got
Capstick.
All three names on there.
That was Capstick's first book.
Can we revisit this for a minute?
What do you got?
My board.
Steve crossed out Capstick.
Or did he underline it?
Oh, that's a succession reference?
Succession, yeah.
That was Capstick's first book. Before he became a professional hunter in Africa, he worked as a stockbroker on Wall Street. Capstick was also the hunting and fishing director at Winchester, which took him on his first trip to Africa. The famous author died in 1996 at the age of 56 after complications from heart surgery. Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
I didn't know that about him.
In last place with 2 points is Ryan Callahan. Coming up next are Steve, Seth, Giannis, and Dan, all tied up with 3 points.
Still in the game.
Corinne also has 3 points, excuse me. And then in first place,
good work.
Yes, in first place are Brody and Randall with 5 points apiece.
Oh my God.
Nerds.
Like a 2-point lead.
5 questions left.
I'm keeping up with Dr. Randall.
Dr. Randall isn't even allowed a Venmo or a PayPal.
No.
Spring is a great time to do something with your family. Do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside, planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing, taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times. I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance. And man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
Hey, Steve here. I want to talk about something crucial for any outdoor enthusiast, which is battery reliability. I've got Interstate batteries powering my gear. I have Interstate batteries in my camper. I run an Interstate battery in my boats. I use Interstate batteries because the last thing I want is to be left powerless. Interstate Batteries isn't just another battery company. They are outrageously dependable. In Alaska, the boat dealer that we use for getting stuff and repairs, he uses Interstate. Whether you're gearing up for hunting season, planning your next RV trip, or getting your boat ready, Interstate has the battery for all your needs. With over 150,000 dealer locations, the power you need is always nearby. Interstate batteries aren't just about power. It's about being prepared for any situation. Don't let a dead battery ruin your adventure. Head over to interstatebatteries.com, use their store locator, and equip yourself with a battery that won't let you down. When you're out in the wild or just on your daily commute, an Interstate battery is your key to a dependable journey. Now, a lot of you guys are familiar with the old hunting tradition of eating, you know, some organ, the heart or a chunk of liver, off the first animal you kill. I had that when I was a little kid, and it was a big deal. Organ meats were always prized by frontier people who knew the importance of getting a lot of different minerals and nutrients. And, as often is the case, those guys were onto something. Because organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. And you can get the same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil, made exclusively from regeneratively raised, grass-fed, and finished cattle. Heart and Soil's unique freeze-drying process means all those important nutrients are trapped in, ensuring you experience every one of the benefits of nature's superfood in a clean, convenient, taste-free capsule. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And make sure to use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase. That's heartandsoil.co. Use the code MeatEater.
Question 6. The topic is public lands. The Trail of Tears National Historic Trail passes through 9 states. Name 3 of them. The Trail of Tears National Historic Trail passes through 9 states. Name 3 of them.
I know you don't like this kind of question, but are you the word through? Does that mean it?
There is no question about it passing through a state from this list. This is
it
how
has to, it has to completely cross through.
It doesn't have to go from like a northern border to a southern border.
How about an eastern border, to a western border?
Hey, Steve, you're out of the game. Bud,
if it goes 1 mile into that state, it passes through that state.
Oh.
This is according to the National Park Service. Again, the Trail of Tears National Historic Trail passes through 9 states. Name 3 of them. How we doing over there, Randall?
Pretty good.
Dan, are you going to get this one right?
I think I will.
Okay. You're the only one who looks confident right now. Brody? Okay. I almost asked you to name 4 of the states. Good thing I kept it at 3. The room looks stumped. Steve, how we doing? You have 3 states?
I do.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Oklahoma, Tennessee, North Carolina. Dan saying Oklahoma, Texas, Colorado. Brody saying Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas. Corinne saying Montana, North Dakota, Wyoming. Cal saying Oklahoma, Florida, Texas. Seth saying Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma. Randall saying Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma. Giannis saying Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas. The 9 states are Alabama, Georgia, Illinois, Kentucky, Missouri, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. How'd the room do there, Phil?
I think only 2 people. Randall got it and Steve got it.
Wow.
Yeah, buddy.
It's a tough question.
Dr.
Well,
Randall.
Dr. Randall.
Why was I thinking they ended Steve. In Florida?
I don't know. Ended in Oklahoma. Oklahoma was a popular answer there. I think almost everybody provided that as one of them.
What was the Shelby Index?
3.5. Winners should get 7. The Trail of Tears National Historic Trail, which is managed by the Park Service, commemorates the forced removal of Cherokees from their homeland. The path follows the route that 17 Cherokee detachments used from the southeast to Oklahoma. It's estimated that about 100,000 Native Americans traveled the Trail of Tears between 1830 and 1850. Question 7. The topic is woodsmanship. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Leland Hart for sending this great question. Leland is going to get a book signed by Steve. The Missouri Department of Conservation declared this bird Hollywood's voice of choice because of how often its scream is used in cinema. The Missouri Department of Conservation declared this bird Hollywood's voice of choice because of how often its scream is used in cinema.
God, I want to have such a dramatic comeback, dude.
It could happen.
It's like, I want it so bad. It's like I could taste it.
What's going on behind you there?
Corinne bumped those carrying squid by.
I want to take Randall's face. And you know what oak
could go a lot of directions.
What's that plant that we used to think would be a great thing to beat people with? And then someone sent me some in
ocotillo.
Ocotillo. Like someone sent me these ocotillos all dried out, set in antler handles for whooping.
Wow.
I want to whoop his face with that thing.
Why are you so mad at Randall?
Because I used to win all the time, and then he started coming all the time. And now, just to mess with me, I never get invited if he's not here.
Well, I like that you're focusing your rage on him and not me.
He's winning right now.
Steve doesn't like doctors. Again, the question is the Missouri.
Never get to come down here without you sitting in the same stupid place and him down there too, ever.
The Missouri Department of Conservation declared this bird Hollywood's voice of choice because of how often its scream is used in cinema. Does everybody answer?
Can I try to do
I don't do the
do
scheduling.
They, a mouth call version?
Give it a shot after we reveal their answers. Cal, turn your board the other way.
Well, I mean,
folks can see. Are we ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying red-tailed hawk.
Oh, no.
Dan saying hawk. Brody saying red-tailed hawk. Corinne sang macaw. Cal sang red-tailed hawk.
From Missouri.
Seth sang red-tailed hawk. Oh. Randall sang sharp-tailed hawk.
No.
Giannis sang red-tailed hawk. The correct answer is red-tailed hawk.
Can I do the little tidbit? They often put it over a bald eagle for some reason.
Yeah, the raspy scream of red-tailed hawks are often dubbed over clips that show other birds in flight, like eagles and vultures. The purpose of the screech is to defend their territory and let other hawks know to stay away. Although I'm sure your imagination is strong enough to hear their call, here it is anyway.
Can I hit you with another little tidbit?
What do you got?
And Jeremiah Johnson... You hear red-tailed hawk. He says, red-tailed hawk, he'll be to the mussel shell in hell. He's there already.
Explain that to me.
He's watching a red-tailed hawk.
Okay.
Birds can travel faster than people. Mm-hmm.
Spencer.
Do you guys remember the Masters controversy? Do you remember that one?
The piped-in bird noise.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he put the wrong bird in.
This is the only time I've been very proud of people who watch golf.
Well, listen, as a person who used to sound design for outdoor TV shows, I'm very sympathetic to that. And also that red-tailed hawk, I mean, it's just invaluable resource. Cut to just like an open desert area. Yeah.
Dan, if you're ever doing a satirical show, you should really test the boundary of that and like show a blue jay. And then do a red-tailed hawk scream.
Or a macaw.
Well, no, because a blue jay can do a red-tailed hawk scream. So you know what?
They do have kind of a fierce call.
Dan, have you ever been acted in a Western?
No, I've never acted in a Western. I did play Falafel Phil on the Disney Channel, though.
The next Western you're in, I bet it will have a red-tailed hawk.
I get credit for hawk, right?
I don't think we're going to get it.
Wait, really?
No way.
Dozens of kinds of hawks.
Wait, hold on a second. Guys, this is not right. The fact that
you're going to lose this argument, man.
Dan, right now, name three hawks.
Red tail hawk. That hawk that he But that's what I'm saying. For someone who doesn't know hawks, I knew that it was a hawk.
Spencer will often say, it's an animal
I should
question,
have offered clarification.
Yeah.
You know, if you think it's a deer, you need to say white-tailed deer.
Can I tell you something?
You can.
If I had to guess, I swear to God I would have guessed red-tailed hawk because I live in L.A. where there's a ton of red-tailed hawks
on my
height.
Well, you did have to guess.
No, but I guess.
How many points does he have, Phil?
I didn't know any of the genus and the species.
Phil, how many points does he have?
He has three.
We'll give it to him. You get it right.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
I say give it to him. We accepted three different answers for matzo ball soup.
Yes. I mean, and I was the only one who got it actually right. I wasn't yelling at you. No, there's no noodles in chicken soup. No, I allowed it.
Okay, he gets hot.
Yeah. Question eight.
That's a good point.
The topic is hunting. What turkey?
This is gonna mess up my deal because I needed him to be out at 8.
We'll find out. I'm guessing he still is. We have questions.
It's gonna be tight.
What turkey subspecies has the second most entries in the National Wild Turkey Federation's record book? What turkey subspecies has the second most entries in the National Wild Turkey Federation's record book? Confident answer from Brody.
This should be multiple choice.
The rest of the room not as confident.
I don't agree with turkey record books, but I'm pretty confident.
Can you read it one more time?
Here
I'm sorry.
It is. What turkey subspecies has the second most entries in the National Wild Turkey Federation's record book? Brody, why don't you like turkey record books?
It's
when you're looking at a turkey strutting in a field 40 yards away. There is no turkey hunter on the face of the planet that's like, I think his spurs are 2, his beard's maybe 11.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to pass on him.
There are a few controversial
he's
hunters.
Jealous. He's jealous because I'll just come out and say it. I killed an exceptional turkey this spring, and when he came in, all I could see was spurs.
Yeah.
I was blinded. I was just nothing but spurs.
I'm jealous of your slam, but I'm not jealous of that.
Brody, 5/8.
Brody, are you familiar with the Bomars at all?
The people who got in big trouble?
Yes. A lot of reasons not to like them, but one of them that they caught a lot of hell for a few years ago was they were on a video sitting in a blind and some like mature toms roll in, and they're like, we think those are 2.5-year-old birds, and they don't shoot them for that reason. So, Brody, there are a couple folks in the world who go to that level of turkey hunting.
Yeah, but it's those folks.
It
so
is.
Who cares?
You're right. Does everybody have an answer? What do you got?
I don't want to. Well, nothing.
Does everybody have an answer?
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Rios. Dan saying Butterball. Brody saying Rio. Corinne saying Oscillated. Cal saying Rio. Seth saying Rio. Randall saying Merriam's. Giannis saying Merriam's. The correct answer is Rio Grande.
Oh, yeah,
a few
Texas,
folks
dude.
Got it right. There are 13,000 entries in the NWTF record book for Eastern Turkeys. That's followed by Rio's at 6,000, Merriam's at 5,500, Florida Ooh. At 5,000.
That was a narrow
Gould's
cut.
At 1,500 and Oscillated at 1,000. Their record book program started in 1982.
Do they have different...
you boys got lucky on that
one. Do they have different
one.
Standards no. for the different...
Well, he just said something stupid.
You know, what's like, because Merriam's all have dinky spurs,
what's
right?
What's the stupid thing?
Is it one standard or is it like...
Well, you
I don't think they even have a minimum.
Oscillated isn't a subspecies. So you should have said, like, and stepping outside of that species.
Okay. Stepping outside of that, the subspecies, the oscillated species has 1,000 entries. Not in the top four.
Keeping them honest.
Where's Butterball?
Phil, we have two questions left. Is Dan out of the game?
Yes, Danadude is out of the game. But, for a guest, he's got 4 points. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty solid score. Yep. Corinne, Giannis, Dan, and Cal have all been eliminated from the running.
Oh, yeah, good company.
I'm in very good company.
Yes, I feel like maybe one of my scores didn't get written down. Yeah, I'll double check. Seth has 5 points. Steve and Randall have 6. And in first place is Brody Henderson with 7 points.
7 points, 2 questions left. Question 9, the topic is fishing.
I know what you're thinking, Dr.
You're coming
Randall.
At the wrong guy here.
This next great question comes to us via Caitlin Trout. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Pyramid Lake, which is located in this state, is famous for its trout fishing style where anglers stand on top of ladders. Pyramid Lake, which is located in this state, is famous for its trout fishing style where anglers stand on top of ladders. Brody, do you know this one?
50-50.
A quick answer from Brody. Cal, you look like you maybe know it.
Oh, I know it.
Okay.
I actually think I know this one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Dan, you can keep playing, too.
Keep down the chat.
And, I mean, for the record, you don't have to be in this state to stand on a ladder and fish.
It's quite common, though, at Pyramid Lake. How we doing? Does everybody have an answer? Steve, you have a shot at this one?
Can you read both mine?
We can do that. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Idaho. He crossed out California. Dan saying Nevada. Brody saying Nevada. Corinne saying Idaho. Cal saying Nevada. Seth saying Nevada. Randall saying Nevada. Giannis saying Nevada. They got it. The correct answer is Nevada.
Woo!
Anglers on Pyramid Lake using ladders are often after the famous Lahontan cutthroat trout, a fish that was once thought to be extinct. People used to sink milk crates there to stand on, which they'd mark with a floating duck decoy. Now most use ladders, some of which are specifically designed for fishermen. Cal, have you ever been there?
Yeah. Yep. Caught a couple of nice fish, too. Mm. And saw some, like, monsters also that got... helped to do the land one.
Mm-hmm. I think that strain of cutthroat used to hit like 60 pounds or something like that.
Commercially trucked over on like wagon trains to the California side, Tahoe, those cities.
For food.
For food, yeah. Really cool conservation story that the tribe's doing over there. But there is a perch in that lake that I am dying to go back there and try to catch.
Yeah. Phil, we have one question left.
Yeah. By the
Where
way,
the leaderboard
can I just clarify?
What do you got?
I am cheating off of Brody now. So I had no idea it was Nevada. Okay. But I am cheating, and I want to thank Brody for...
You're quite welcome.
For the ladder.
Phil, where do we stand?
It's down to Brody and Randall. Brody has 8 points, and Randall has 7.
Okay.
Well, this is exciting.
Yeah. Question 10, the topic is cooking. According to a 2014 survey, most Americans want their steak cooked to this doneness.
Weird. Can everybody look at Randall's face? He's very serious.
According to a 2014 survey, most Americans want their steak cooked to this doneness. Again, we need Brody to get this wrong and Randall to get this right to go to overtime. They're the only two left in the game.
I already wrote mine down, Brody. Give me a little look what you got.
I don't think he has anything yet.
I'm waffling on what to do.
Don't give him any hints here, Steve.
Not saying a thing.
Steve, do you want to see Randall's board now, too, so you can,
you
can take it all in.
What you got going on?
Again, according to a 2014 survey, most Americans want their steak cooked to this doneness.
Dude, if I was still in, man, God, I'd be stressing out right now.
I'm very stressed.
Again, Brody has to get this wrong.
I can smell
Randall
the perspiration.
Randall has to get this right. Brody, are we ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying medium rare. Dan saying well done. Brody saying medium rare. Corinne saying medium rare. Cal saying medium. Seth saying medium.
Randall going very bold.
Randall
medium
saying
well.
Medium well.
I don't
Giannis
know.
Giannis saying medium
weird.
Rare.
What's like below a doctor? Like, like adjunct or what? Why do you do that?
One of you two has the correct answer between Brody and Randall.
It's Brody.
It's Brody.
The correct answer is medium rare. Brody
God.
Is our winner
Brody
with
just
nine
incredibly
correct
dominant
answers.
Force, man.
That's in that
incredibly
survey.
Dominant force. That, if I ran a nonprofit, I would be sending Brody flowers and shit because the amount of money he'd be able to channel my way.
You'd be in cahoots just with him.
Only if I'm playing this game.
Dominating force, man.
Did you put a dollar in?
I'm very surprised
you
by
put
that
one
answer.
In, for me.
In that survey, 38% of Americans said they want their steak cooked to medium rare. That's followed by medium at 31%, medium well at 17%, well at 8%, and rare at 5%. A similar study also found that steak orders can tell you a lot about a person's politics. About 30% of Republicans order their steak medium rare compared to just 19% of Democrats. The other biggest gap was with well-done steaks, which is how 27% of Democrats order steak compared to 21% of Republicans.
I love that stat because of how much Democrats have gluten problems relative to Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Medium rare, more likely they're Republican. Well done, more likely they're a Democrat.
Oh, I would like to have a whole book of stuff like that.
That's hilarious.
Brody, where is the $500 donation from Meat Eater going to go?
You know what I'd like to see in that book, and I don't even know the truth, which is more likely to think they have a ghost in their house?
I don't think there's any questions. Yeah, it's gotta be.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
I guarantee a Democrat is more likely to
definitely
think they got a ghost in their house.
I would feel like it's more like which party is more religious, which would seem to lean Republican.
Sure. But there's a mutual exclusivity between ghosts and monotheism.
And we're not necessarily talking about the Holy Ghost here. We're talking about like
that old lady that died in the chair.
Dan, you seem to have some thoughts on this. Where were you going to lean?
I think Democrats are probably more likely to believe in ghosts, but I think Republicans are more likely to think there's a ghost in their house.
That seems like the right answer. Brody, the $500 donation, where's it going to go?
Meat Eater Land Access Initiative.
Couple episodes in a row there going to the LAI. That pot needs some money. We have a big project coming up this year, right?
Dominating force. It's like, I don't understand it.
Dominating.
Smart guy.
Dan,
no,
you did
it's
well.
Not that. It's not that.
It looks like the pile of money is already gone, though. Did Brody pocket that?
Honestly,
I gave it to Brody.
Oh, man, that was quick. We didn't even get to end the show.
God, I was walking with enough, a little bit of coffee money. Yeah.
Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me,
enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.